We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Current Issues, the radio program. I am your temporary host, Mark Glenn, filling in for Hisham Talawi, who is away on very important business somewhere. He won't tell me. Like I said, he says I'm like a nosy girlfriend, and I always want to know what he's up to. And all I'm doing is just making conversation, like, oh, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why, but he's suspicious of me. Anyway, Mike, go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, I think I pretty much said everything I had to say. I did have a question for John, though. John, did I answer your question, or did I give you more information than you needed to know?
Actually, you confirmed my thoughts, which
okay.
makes me feel
right.
a whole lot better.
I'm inclined to say great minds think alike.
Well, you know, to listen to the talk radio here in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm the tinfoil hat guy. You know, I'm the guy that calls and tries his best to let people know what's going on and point the train out that's barreling down on them. One thing that I did want to say, I've been posting on a forum, on, you know, naturally on the internet, and you can post, you can reply to any type of thread, but the minute that you start talking about the CFR or about this hidden agenda, this not so hidden agenda, you know, that's out in plain sight, that's so outrageous that no one will believe you. I'm here to tell you that as they monitor the internet for child porn abusers, there's somebody somewhere watching for people that are trying their best to put the truth out. Because when I start a thread or when I post a reply, man, you get jumped on like a bunch of flies hitting a pile of dung. I mean, they are all over you. And they're not attacking your message. They're attacking the messenger. They're, you know, it's unbelievable. It's like you've opened up a hornet's nest.
Well, John, I can tell you that I've actually seen a picture posted on the internet in a very favorable way. I wish I could give the exact citation. It's a long, long time ago. But there is in existence an operation set up by Zionist groups, and I don't want to say specifically which one because I don't remember, but they are monitoring the internet. They do have a whole team of people who work, you know, 24/7 to see what is being posted on internet websites. I mean, you know, just as you say, there are, you know, police operations out there monitoring chat rooms to look for child molesters, as well they should. But there are also Zionist agents, and that's exactly what they are, out there monitoring the websites, doing what they can to interfere with what is being discussed there. They'll get on and shout people down, so
Absolutely.
To speak. And I do know that they can hack in and do it, because I've had my own emails hacked a couple years ago when I was scheduled to speak at a conference in Moscow. There were about 10 different people who were in communication intercommunication with one another. And what happened was we all started receiving very nasty, vulgar emails from the email addresses that we used to the other email addresses. And
mm-hmm.
some of us started to think that, you know, our friends were suddenly mad at us and calling us names. And I sent some emails. Yeah, and see, I sent some emails around and found out from one of the organizers of the conference in Moscow that, in fact, other people were receiving the same thing. So they were monitoring our emails between one another, and I'm sure they still do the same thing. They, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The internet is not private, no matter how private
no,
we want to make
not.
It.
No, it's a very powerful tool.
So what is happening to you is no surprise. I'm not surprised about that.
Well, I expected it, to tell you the truth. One other thing you mentioned the UN and what its thing really was. Let me give you a quote real quick from John Dulles.
John, can you hold that quote until after the break?
I'll talk to you again. I've taken a lot of time. Thank you, guys.
All right. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back with the one and only Michael Collins Piper.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Current Issues, the radio program normally hosted by my good friend Hisham Talawi, who has decided that for whatever reason that he's going to leave the ship in my competent hands. I hope I don't run it aground. Unexpectedly, but pleasant surprise, we received a phone call from my good friend Mike Piper over at American Free Press. And now that I have Mike on the phone, poor Mike, whenever I do manage to track him down, I chew his ear off with a thousand questions about what's going on in the world. But nevertheless, Mike, are you still there?
I'm here.
It's been a busy week for news this week, obviously. We have the quote-unquote new Bin Laden video that has come out that, you know, I don't know if my eyes are getting old or what it is, Mike, but that doesn't look as much like the Bin Laden that I saw in the videos a few years ago that he appears to be now. And interestingly enough, you know, Richard Clark, who was he's touted as a counterterrorism expert, he even remarked on one of the news programs where he was being interviewed that he thought that the beard on Osama bin Laden looked like it was fake.
Well, you know, Osama, if we're to believe our own mass media, Osama has never been in the best of health, and I don't want the Anti-Defamation League to suggest that I know any inside information about Osama's health, but if the media is to be believed, Osama hasn't been in good health, so maybe his beard fell out. And I'm not being facetious. I mean, you know, maybe even Osama, you know, wears a toupee, and maybe he wears a false beard. I mean, it wouldn't really look good for him to come out looking like a dying old man. So, you know, again, I'm not being facetious. I'm being completely serious here. But you know, when you consider the fact that the original Bin Laden videotapes were quite suspect from the beginning, when you consider the fact that even our own mass media, which never tells a lie, told us right after 9-1-1 that Osama bin Laden had 12 different lookalikes that he utilized, how are we to know whether those videotapes that we were shown were actually Osama bin Laden, or whether they were an Osama lookalike doing Osama's bidding, or whether the Israeli Mossad and the CIA together or apart had somehow captured one of the bin Laden lookalikes and put them to work for their own purposes? Or in the alternative, how do we know that they just weren't computer-generated images? You know, we really don't know.
No, and you know, the thing that strikes me about this, Mike, is that it seems like every time some type of event is due to take place in the near future, something that could possibly bode ill for this entire war for the Israeli empire, all of a sudden, bada boom, something pops up, whether it's an act of terrorism or whether it's a threat of terrorism or it's a new bin Laden video. It's just, you know, these things, I mean, the statistical possibility of them taking place with a kind of perfect precision in terms of timing, I was never good with numbers or math, but my gut tells me that statistically these things arriving the way that they do, seemingly on cue every time, is just too high a number to calculate.
Oh,
you know,
well,
I mean, we have this report that's due to come out here in the next week or so from Petraeus talking about the surge in Iraq. We have Congress getting ready to hunker down and debate the issue of whether or not the war should continue. You know, all of these things, you have polls in the United States, you know, saying that the American people now that they want direct hearings involving Bush and Cheney and what they knew prior to 9/11. You know, all of these things are converging or seeming to converge at the same time. And then all of a sudden we have a new bin Laden video.
Well, you know, Eric, good Lord, I'm sorry.
Lord.
I was looking at something in reference to our good friend Eric Hofschmidt just a minute ago during the break. Something very amusing, I might add. I don't know that he's gotten a new wedding dress. I think he probably took it back to the store. But in any case, Mark, I've been thinking a lot about this bin Laden thing. Now, as you know, I don't think Osama bin Laden was the mastermind of 9-1-1. I think the Israeli Mossad was the ultimate author of that tragic event. But, you know, we have to keep in mind, you know, when I was in the Middle East several years ago, I had the opportunity to meet with one of the members of one of the royal families over there. And I don't know if he actually knew Osama bin Laden, but he made a very interesting remark about bin Laden. He said, you know, before 9-1-1, we here in the Middle East didn't know Osama bin Laden. What he meant was that bin Laden was hardly known to anybody. Of course, the royal families of the Middle East knew him. The CIA knew him. The Mossad knew him. You know, various intelligence agencies knew him. And his small group of followers knew him. But until the mass media in America started promoting Osama bin Laden, he had virtually no name recognition or identity whatsoever. That has been, or I should say the result has been, that Osama bin Laden has developed a following among people who see him as an enemy of the United States. Now, I don't want to get into the long debate about whether Osama really lives amongst us anymore, or whether he was a CIA agent all along, or any of those debates. But what I am here to tell you is that just for the sake of argument, say Osama is this figure that he's been painted to be. Now that he's been blamed for the attack on the United States and has been given all of this publicity, it doesn't surprise me that if Osama were still alive and sitting in some cave somewhere in Pakistan or Afghanistan, or maybe sitting in a luxury apartment in Tel Aviv, for example, or maybe out here in Langley, Virginia, it seems logical to me, I should say that if he is this Islamic fundamentalist he's said to be, it seems logical to me that he would take advantage of events to put his name back in the news. But as I say, when you really start looking at bin Laden, what he was, who he was, what he represents, you know, the whole story is hardly what we have been told by the mass media in America.
So if I read you correctly, what you're saying is that if this really were genuine, this whole videotape of bin Laden, that it is something that he would use in a calculating way in order to get his message out
exactly
at the appropriate time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but as I say, I mean, I don't believe that bin Laden. I don't believe that bin Laden was responsible for 911. I believe the Israeli Mossad was responsible for 911. Very simply.
Okay. Well, very simply. I happen to agree with you.
Well,
now let me ask you this, Mike. I assume you heard about the Israeli warplanes dropping some munitions in Syria.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I was flipping through the internet today and I think I saw, I don't know the specifics of it, so I'm really not qualified to comment on it. Unless if you want to tell me about it, I'd be glad to say something. But
well,
yeah.
In essence, there were two Israeli planes who violated Syrian airspace along the Turkish-Syrian border. At this point, the reports are not clear whether they dumped some empty fuel tanks or whether they actually dropped a few bombs. The Syrians fired on the planes. The planes hauled out of there back to Israel. Israel's first response was to deny that the event took place.
That's what Israel always does, of course.
Right.
Yeah, they lie like rugs, but yeah.
Exactly.
And it's funny, the Israelis call Arabs rug merchants, and yet it's the Israelis who lie like rugs, but anyway.
So their first response was to deny it took place. The second response was to say, well, it did take place, but we can't really comment on it. And then the third most recent response on their part now, and get ready for this one. The Israelis said, well, listen, we violate Syrian airspace all the time. What are you getting so bent out of shape about, people?
Well, all right, from your capsule description, which I'm sure is exactly correct, I have a couple responses. Number one, if the Israelis said that they violate Syrian airspace all the time, it is probably true. I'm going to grant for the fact that maybe for the first time in history, the Israeli government told the truth. Because it is probably true that the Israelis do violate Syrian airspace all the time, but we never hear about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that leads me into my second point, that if they did it, as they admit, and I'm sure they did it, it probably was a deliberate provocation, probably testing the Syrian response, testing to see how the United States would respond, testing to see how the world would respond.
Mm-hmm. Let me
continue though.
Right.
I should have said first of all that it may have been an accident. There's a possibility it was an accident, but I doubt it. Number two, the Israelis were probably correct and absolutely telling the truth when they admit that they do it all the time. Number three, because it would make sense that they would do it all the time, just as I say, to test responses. Number three, we probably don't always hear about it in the media when it does happen because, you know, a lot of things happen in the Middle East in that part of the world that we don't hear about it. And to the credit of the Syrians, they probably don't respond knowing that the Israelis are probably trying to provoke them to respond. And then the big one, Mark, is are they just setting the stage to spark a war with Syria that could be used to launch a war against Iran? That's the big question.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Current Issues Radio Program.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Current Issues, the radio program. I am filling in for the one and only Hisham Talawi, who's away on important business of some sort, which, as I said, he would not tell. I wouldn't read any more into it than that, ladies and gentlemen. Hisham, he may roar like a lion, but he's actually as gentle as a lamb. And I know he'll be listening to this radio program later, so he'll probably take me to task over that one. Anyway, you know, Mike, talking about this situation with the Israelis violating Iranian airspace, you know, when I was in D.C. in June covering the Liberty reunion, you remember one of the fellows from the Liberty that you had on your program was a fellow named Rick Ametti. Do you remember him?
Right.
Okay. He was telling me a story about a couple of years ago. He was in New York City. And he ran into a guy, and there was something about this fellow that indicated to Rick that this guy was from Israel. And so they struck up a conversation, and as it turns out, this Israeli to whom Rick was talking was actually an ex-Mossad officer. And so Rick didn't let him know right away that he had been on the USS Liberty or anything like that. But Rick, knowing enough about the history of the last 40 years and how Israel does things, you know, he started quizzing this guy, saying, you know, why does Israel do this and why does Israel do that? And going back to this thing that we're talking about with the violation of the Syrian airspace, when this ex-Mossad officer was asked by Rick why they do things the way they do, the Mossad officer's response was, we like to, pardon my language here, folks, we like to screw with people. We like to mess with people. And basically the answer that he gave to Rick was, Israel as a nation cannot exist except in the environment of unending conflict. The conflict is what holds the nation together, and that when conflict goes away, the nation would fall apart, you see. And so I can't help but be reminded of this story that Rick told me about this conversation that he had with this ex-Mossad officer. The fact of the matter is, you know, we hear on the news every day about what a horrible man Ahmadinejad is and how he's not interested in making peace but in making war. And yet, with the typical perfect hypocrisy that Israel always employs in her daily dealings, she engages in, you know, what if any other country had done this, there would be worldwide condemnation, you know, violation of airspace. This is a preclude to an act of war. And yet we hear nothing about it. We hear nothing about it from the United States, basically giving Israel the green light to go marching over other nations' borders. And I guess the reason, you know, I shouldn't harp on this too much because obviously this is something that happens literally every day when it comes to Israel, but it's just to illuminate the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Well, you know, Mark, it comes back to what I said. We have a world held hostage by Israel and its nuclear hell bomb.
Yes.
And
she
now
can do whatever she wants, and she's got Big Brother, the United States, there to protect her and to make sure that nobody gets out of line and criticizes her.
I wish you wouldn't call Israel she, because Israel ain't no lady. But aside, you know, Mark, for a minor digression, but not a digression at all, just before I happened to come on the program, I was bouncing around on the Internet, and I found something very, very interesting, a press release from the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
Yeah.
This is from their website. ADL campaign says no to nuclear Iran. Over the next few weeks and months, the Anti-Defamation League will roll out a public awareness and advocacy campaign aimed at focusing attention on the gathering threat of a nuclear-armed Iran to Israel, the Middle East, and the world. It goes on and on and on, says how awful Iran is. Our goal is to build momentum in Congress and among policymakers, opinion molders, and the public in the weeks leading up to the opening of the United Nations General Assembly, where we hope that we'll see a number of potential actions taken, including a freezing of Iranian assets, more robust sanctions, a travel ban on Iran's leaders, and an end to bilateral links between Iran and other nations. It goes on to say that the campaign has a number of objectives: alerting and educating the U.S. and international communities to specific actions, including stronger sanctions that may be taken to deter Iranian nuclear proliferation. In the campaign's first phase, 6,000 synagogues and other Jewish groups will receive the poster in time for the Jewish high holidays. Now, our friends in Israel and their advocates here in the United States have relentlessly insisted that Israel had nothing to do with getting us in the war in Iraq, that the Israeli lobby had nothing to do with it. After they get us involved in a war in Iran, are they going to tell us the same thing? Are they going to say, oh, no, 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 we had nothing to do with getting the war on Iran going? I mean, this hypocrisy, this chutzpah, just continues to amaze me.
Hold that thought, Mike. We're going to jump back into that after the break. Boy, these breaks really come quickly, just like
how they work.
We'll be back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill.
I can't believe it.
A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final half hour of the two-hour-a-week radio program, Current Issues, normally hosted by Hashem Talawi, but for whatever reason, as I said, he has allowed me to steer the ship of state today all by myself. Anyway, Mike, I want to go back to this thing that you were talking about this thing, denial. You know, you've seen that I have an army of children here. And as all kids do at some point, you know, when they face the prospect of getting in trouble, sometimes they will lie. And you can always tell when they're lying because their eyes are darting back and forth or they're looking at the floor. There is an air of uncomfortableness, if you want to, for lack of a better word, about the whole thing. That, you know, they have some kind of qualms about lying to mom or dad, but when dealing with these people, with these Zionists, when it comes to, as you said before, when they denied that they had any hand in leading the U.S. into war in Iraq, and yet the evidence of it is as big as a mountain, and yet they shamelessly, I mean, this is the thing, Mike, they don't, their eyes don't dart from side to side. They show no uncomfortableness about lying. And the thought that has recently come to me is when considering this situation, this is, you know, people who have dealt with this question before. Why have the Jews been persecuted throughout history? Why do they have all of these monkeys on their backs that they can't seem to get rid of? All of these charges of dual loyalty and that you can't trust them and all the rest of this stuff. You know, these are things that I never understood before growing up. I never understood why, you know, the Jews always seem to carry around, you know, baggage like this. But watching this whole process, particularly over the course of the last 4 years, and watching the way they will, and I don't mean, when I say they, obviously I don't mean all of them, but unfortunately, the numbers of them who don't engage in it are so few that, you know, it leads reasonable people to make these generalizations. And yet they sit there for the most part and they lie, or they allow their leaders to sit by and lie about this thing, and they don't. And so what I'm saying here, Mike, is it's no longer a mystery to me why there have been these what they call old canards, as Walt and Mearsheimer called it in the introductory section of their book, why there have been these old canards throughout history in terms of the Jewish people, and the fact that they seem to have divided loyalties and they're willing to lie in order to get things done. And this situation with the war in Iraq and with the upcoming war in Iran is a perfect illustration of this. Would you agree with me on this?
Mark, yeah. Now, this is very interesting because this is something that I have noted here in recent weeks. Now, this bear with me. Now, we know that the average American gets most of their news, quote-unquote, and information, however stilted, however much lying it is, from the broadcast media and from publications like Time and Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, all of which, I'm sorry to say, are controlled by Jewish families and financial interests sympathetic to Israel. The average American does not read books. The average American does not read high-toned political journals like Foreign Relations or Foreign Affairs, which is published by the Council on Foreign Relations, or any of these other publications. Now, I always have to emphasize this, that the average nonfiction book sells no more than about 10,000 copies, maybe 20,000 copies if the authors are lucky. Now, I'm here to tell you that in the past year, I have probably bought 5 different books on the subject of Iran, books most of which were written by Jews, whether Americans or Israelis. And all of those books, these are books written by Israeli journalists, American journalists, you know, people with credentials, so to speak, very detailed books. And, of course, these books are very critical of Iran, and they say how terrible Iran is. But I want to tell you something. You know what is buried in all of these books? The repeated suggestion, number one, that Iran is really not a threat to Israel, number one. Number two, that Iran would never consider attacking Israel with either conventional or nuclear weapons. And number three, basically, that if you really read into it, when all is said and done, that Iran is really not something to worry about, okay? Mm-hmm. This is what the message being imparted in these books, which are read by a handful of people who are interested in the subject, this is what they are being told. And yet, on the mass level, they are still, nonetheless, bombarding, I hate to use that term in this context, but they are bombarding the American people with the message that Iran is this horrible threat that must be vanquished so as to protect not just Israel, but of course the United States, and as the Anti-Defamation League says in their press release, the rest of the world. So, Mark, are all these Israeli and Jewish American journalists sympathetic to Israel? Are they lying in their books? I don't think they are. I think they're telling the truth. Iran, and I believe that that is the truth. Iran is really not a threat to Israel. Iran is certainly no threat to the United States. It's certainly no threat to the world. And yet, they still want the United States to attack Iran or otherwise sit back and allow the Israelis to do it. Now, we are getting a very schizophrenic picture of a very schizophrenic people here. And I find this very disturbing because this nation, Israel, has one of the world's most powerful nuclear arsenals, and they are backed up by the most powerful nation in the world, which is now being run by a president whose sanity is subject to question for a variety of reasons, which we don't need to go into here, but which most people are aware of. And this is a president who is advised by hardline religious fanatics who are geared, who are guided by their devotion to the Jewish Talmud, which holds the rest of humanity outside the people known as the Jews, however you want to define them, holds the rest of humanity at a lower level, considering them animals. And that's not my words. Those are the words of the Talmud. So are we to believe their propaganda in the mass media, or are we to believe the reasoned words of Israeli writers and Jewish American writers who are tuned in and advised by the Israeli government? Why are they telling us one thing in their books that most people don't read? And then, but intellectuals might read them. A few people are interested in the subject may read them. 10,000 people, maybe 20,000 people will read these books. But millions upon millions of Americans are being geared up for a war against Iran. Now, we're being lied to, Mark.
Well, is it possible, though, Mike, that these writers about whom you speak, who are telling the truth about Iran not being a threat to Israel, is it not possible, and I hate to, you know, to sound so conspiratorial here, but we have to remember that we're dealing with an intelligence agency, the motto of which is, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. Now, is it possible that what they are actually doing is that they're laying the groundwork for a plausible denial later, so that when this thing with Iran happens and it turns out to be this disaster, they can say, no, we were never pushing for war with Iran. See, look at some of our most respected writers here. We're saying that Iran poses no danger to Israel or to the world. And so this was just something that these mean old conservative Christian Republicans insisted upon doing. So put the blame on them.
I think there is a certain element there to that. I think there is a certain element there to that. I think you're right in that regard. But in the bigger picture, I think it just illustrates the fact that, to put it bluntly, these people just can't resist lying.
Yeah,
that's, you know, this is what it is. You know, I mean, that the reality of the situation has always been, I mean, they lied about Saddam Hussein. People still believe Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11, and that's no accident that most people believe that, because that's the message that was imparted by the mass media. Even though people could read books and serious analytical articles in the New York Times and in the Washington Post that said, well, no, Saddam, there's no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11. But the mass image, the mass soundbite for the mass numbers of people from the mass media was quite the opposite. So it's just part of a history of lying, a history of intrigue that really showed itself in the Iraq War and now is replaying itself right again with Iran.
Yes, and Mike, obviously, you know, you deal with this as well. You get people who hear these things that we say and they say, you know, why are you so hard on the Jews and all the rest of stuff? But I want to make something clear to the people who are listening to the show. I don't want to see any harm come to the Jewish people. I don't want to see any more quote-unquote Holocaust, whether it's 6 million or whether it's six of them. I want to see these people, as you have said on previous occasions, Mike, I want to see them liberated. I want to see them liberated from this backwards, regressive, schizophrenic mindset that their leaders keep them in. I mean, right now is a perfect, what we're seeing now is a perfect example of why there has been this thing throughout history known as the Jewish problem. Okay, here we have this disastrous war in Iraq having taken place because Jewish interests did push the United States into doing this. And by the way, folks, it didn't begin with George Bush the second. If you go back and read Victor Ostrovsky's book, The Other Side of Deception, you will see that he talks in that quite plainly. And this was after George Bush the elder fought the first Gulf War, where Victor Ostrovsky says quite plainly that Israel's Mossad was involved in the whole propaganda campaign leading up to the first Iraq war. It was something that was known as Operation Brushfire. So this is coming right from the horse's mouth. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, Mike, you see, all of these questions that we have supposedly been wrestling with now for 2,000 years, this whole thing known as the Jewish question, we can see now why this has existed the way that it has. I think that the average Jewish person wants to lead his life, wants to, you know, work his job and raise his family, and really doesn't want to cause harm to other people, okay? The problem is that, as you pointed out on your program last night, Mike, is that their leaders don't feel the same way. Their leaders really do take all of this obnoxious, violent, hateful, you know, sentimentality that is found in the Talmud, and they really do take this stuff seriously. This is the code by which they lead their lives. And unfortunately for them, they can't implement the designs of this hateful book on their own. They need the cooperation of the people under them in order to achieve this thing. And so what they do is that they hold these people, the Jewish people, in this bondage of sorts, and they use them as their shock troops in going out into the world and implementing these designs. And the average Jewish person goes along with these things without thinking about the right or wrong of them, just goes ahead and does it because he's been told from birth that the number one thing that you're supposed to do is to support the tribe. And so, you know, my reason for bringing this up is, and, you know, it's like Mordecai Vanunu, when we were interviewing him, Mike, a couple of years ago, he said something, you know, very important. He said that talking to Christians today, particularly these Judaized Zionist Christians, he said, you're going to have to choose which you're going to be. You're either going to be a Christian or you're going to be a Jew. You can't be both. And then he said to his fellow Judaics, he said, you need to free yourselves from the bondage that your leaders are holding you in. And this situation that, I mean, I know I'm probably drawing this out way too long, but the fact of the matter is that we are dealing with this situation right now because of the bondage that the Jewish people live under. They go out there and they do what they're told by these wicked, ambitious leaders, and they don't question it. You know, this is what has to happen. They have to stand up and say, forget it. You know, I can see where this thing is leading. We are headed for another disaster here. And it's not going to be the Jewish leaders who are going to take the blame for it. It's going to be the average rank and file Jewish person who was just following orders. And so, you know, like you, Mike, when people ask me, they say, you know, why are you always picking on the Jews? You know, why do you want to do them harm? Well, that's not true. I want to see them liberated.
I don't want them to do us harm.
That's exactly right. As soon as they're liberated, then the power that these leaders have over the rest of the world will be gone, and then the rest of us will be able to live in peace.
Mark, what you said is absolutely confirmed by this ADL press release. One thing I didn't read is this. I did read that 6,000 synagogues are going to receive a propaganda poster from the ADL. But what the ADL says, this campaign has three key objectives. And one of the objectives that I didn't mention is this: moving the Iranian issue to the top of the agenda for the Jewish community as both a political and social justice issue of the utmost urgency. Good Jewish people out there who are listening to this broadcast, when they see that ADL poster in their synagogue, they should tear it down. Mm-hmm. They should say to hell with Abe Foxman and the ADL. We don't want another destructive war that could do harm to the Jewish people and to the state of Israel and to the rest of the world, because that's exactly what a war with Iran will do.
Well, you know what, Mike? Again, when I was in D.C. Covering the Liberty reunion, there's a fellow there who was a crewman aboard the Liberty, and his name is Rocky Sturmer, and fine man, wonderful man. He had a Jewish father and an Italian mother, and that's why they call him Rocky. If you look at him, he looks just like Sylvester Stallone, except that he's short like me. But anyway, he was telling me, because I was asking him, I was saying, now listen, Rocky, I said, you know, you came from a family where one side of the family was Jewish and the other side of the family is Catholic. I said, you know, how did you guys get along? He said, my family, the Jewish side of my family, when they got to the United States, they didn't want to have anything to do with the rabbi. And I hear the music. I will finish this story when I come back because it is an interesting story, folks. Everybody, stay tuned. We've only got about 10 minutes left, and we'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Current Issues, the radio program. I am filling in for Hisham, who is away on business, and a most unexpected but pleasant surprise is that my good friend Mike Piper called in and made the show 10 times more interesting than it would have been with just boring old me. But anyway, Mike, finishing up this story that Rocky Sturmer of the USS Liberty was telling me, He said that when they came to America, his family, his Jewish family, one of the things that they did was that they cut off all ties with the synagogue, all ties with the rabbis, because they wanted to be American. And when they would, and it wasn't long after that that many of them actually converted to Christianity. And, you know, Rocky was just, speaking with him, he's just one of the finest people I think I've ever known, an absolute patriot, a lover of America. But he would tell me stories, or he told me stories about when they would get things in the mail, because obviously with the Jewish name that they had, they were targets for all types of solicitations, whether it was the ADL or the World Jewish Congress or whatever. And he said when they would get these things from the ADL and these other Jewish groups, he's saying, you know, we've all got a band together and blah, blah, blah. He said they would just rip these things up and they'd say, oh, those filthy Jews. So, yeah, I know, very interesting story. But, you know, in essence, Mike, I think that this is where people want to know what the answer is to solving this problem. And really what it boils down to, in my opinion, is that there has to take place among the Jewish people a mutiny. Just like with our own military, they need to just stand up and say, hell no, we won't go.
Precisely.
And throw these evil men out of power and reclaim this thing and turn it back into what it was intended to be, okay? And I think that this is what has to happen among the Jewish people if there's ever going to be peace in the world.
You know, Mark, when you and I, after you and I interviewed Mordecai Vanunu and the company on the over the telephone, along with Stan Hess, I recall you and I had a conversation in which we both agreed that we felt that we were in the presence, literally, of a prophet, someone deeply spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you and I talking, Mark, privately off the air. You know, you and I who are accused of being Jew haters and of being accused of too hard on the Jews, and here we were talking in this way about Mordecai Vanunu, a man born to the Jewish faith, a man born among the Jewish people, and yet you and I both felt such warmth and goodness coming from this man who has rejected all of these horrible rabbinic teachings of the Talmud and who has put his name and face. Well, hell, the man went to prison for 18 years, 15 or 16 years of that in solitary confinement. He put himself out there in the cause of world peace, recognizing that Israel's nuclear weapons are in the hands of people who are really very self-destructive and a bigger threat probably to their own people than they are maybe to even the rest of the world in some respects.
You know, I was reading a thing that was sent to me. If you remember, you had on your show last year a friend of mine, Michael Korn, who was raised as a secular Jew, who became an Orthodox Jew, lived in Israel for 20 years, and then he abandoned all of it for Christianity and has become an outspoken voice opposed to Judaism. But he sent me something very interesting the other day, which I did not realize, and it was a passage of the Talmud that he had actually translated himself out of the Hebrew. And it's this passage that dealt with the siege of Jerusalem and how the rabbis, when Jerusalem was being destroyed by the Romans, the rabbis cut a deal with the Romans where they themselves could escape, but the Jewish people would be left behind to deal with all of the warfare. Anyway, Michael, I hear the music. I can't thank you enough for coming on, brother.
That's been interesting.
Yes, it has. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the program. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.